that was really hard to tolerate. Like, I really didn't like it. And every moment, like, there was a lot of pressure on us. I even didn't know that I can get out. Like, I can quit. I can change my job. I can change the place. Because they kind of dictated this in our mind, that if you go out, you're not going to find a good job. That's why we kind of had to stay there. And I worked there for about 4 years.
Oh, my God.
And it was really hard. They were just... four really hard years.
And didn't it change you? Change the way you see life?
Yes, it did. You're a therapist now.
That's why after these years, when I changed my job, I still, can you believe this? That still I'm using the experience of those years.
Awesome.
Still, I'm looking at those years that were so hard. I was so tired. I even remember one day I was late and I cried. Because it's just being late 5 minutes for a class. But right now, when I look at those years, I'm proud of myself. I'm learning the experiences. I'm living the moments, knowing the information that I gained at that time. And that experience has helped me improve. That's what I'm saying. In another Quranic verses, Allah emphasized the importance of our time and mentions that human beings are at loss unless they go for the right way of life. But at the same time, he even pushes us towards working. He says, you start the job and I'm going to support you. Although you may be mistaken, you can get back. It's like Allah has prepared everything for us.
Yeah, even if you're wrong or mistaken, you can come back.
Exactly.
So that's the point.
Actually, there's a beautiful verse of the Quran. It says, "Ya ayyuhal insan." It often says, "Oh, human beings."
Yeah.
Innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. It says, "Surely you are striving a hard striving, or you're toiling a hard toiling. You're doing all of this hard work so that you can reach your Lord, and eventually you will meet Him." So ultimately, we're all going to meet our Lord. It just depends on what form we're going to meet Him in. Everything else is just a step in that direction.
Exactly. But I do agree with all that you said, that, okay, whatever, even if we do some wrong stuff or we get into the wrong tracks, still there might be some valuable points that are going to come out of those hard situations. We will get to learn some new stuff that would help us for the future experiences. But imagine there's a guy who have lived for 30 years in a community of people who have never cared about valuable stuff. They have been immersed in this mundane world of materialism, and then everything was defined to them based on physical pleasures. And then suddenly a revolution happens, and that guy comes to open up his eyes and see himself having a 30 years of a waste of time, of an actual waste of time. Like, for 30 years, they were living in an atheist community.
That's a really good idea. Because I was reading in one of the books of Imam Khomeini about Salah. I think it's Adab al-Salah, the secrets of prayer. And he was saying that somebody could worship for 40, 50 years, but it's all wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Because that worship has been actually for themselves and not for Allah. That's really terrifying. 30 to 40 years.
For 30 whatever years, they've been living a life of a person who's going for only physical stuff. They do not have any idea about that higher purposes that we have in our religion. Like, they do not have any spiritual connection to the skies above and stuff like that. But then suddenly they come to get familiar with this new world. And they wish that they would never had such stuff in their past.
Right.
Sometimes there's this other point that you mentioned. I have prayed for many years. I have worshipped God for many years. And suddenly a moment happens to me that is going to show me my true essence.
So, okay, Imam alayhi salam, right? He sees this youth and he's praying his prayer really fast. And he says, "Pray your prayer again. Why did you pray it so fast?" And then the second time, the youth prays it really, really slowly. He takes his time. And then the Imam alayhi salam tells him the first prayer was better than the second prayer. And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because the first prayer, it was fast, but you prayed it sincerely for Allah.
Yeah.
The second prayer, you prayed it for me." The whole example of shaitan, he did a sujood for 6,000 years, and it's not even known if they're earthly years or what. And it was all wasted, all wasted. It's really scary. Why are you scaring me like this? I mean, I was perfectly happy wasting a lot of my time knowingly.
That's what back to reality do.
Yeah, that's true. But I saw this cartoon. You want to hear about this cartoon?
It's relevant.
It's as relevant as I can make it. It's a short cartoon clip, and this character, he's going through the forest, and a tree falls onto his leg, and he loses his axe. And he can't find his axe anymore, and he's trapped there.
Oh,
and he
God.
Is going to be trapped there and starved to death or something. Oh. So he needs to escape, but he loses his knife. The only thing he has left is a spoon. So he starts cutting at his leg to free himself from the tree.
Oh my God.
And it shows a really gruesome scene where he's cutting his leg, and then finally he cuts his leg off.
Oh my God.
And then the camera zooms out, and it's the wrong leg.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
That was a waste of time. Waste of time.
It's a really big waste of time, but... God
protect
us.
Not just time, actually.
God protect us from doing something like that with our life and our, you know, very much valued time here.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back. Yes, this is the last part of today's episode.
Yeah, I watched a movie like this. The person's leg was just getting stuck in a cliff.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, and that person had to
hours.
Just... But it wasn't a mistake.
No,
they did well.
Yeah, he did.
At least he achieved the result.
Yeah. He did the right arm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a real story.
And the idea, I guess, is the same thing that we're talking about. Try to do stuff that are worthy. So, actually, we talked about the nature of right and wrong and how we get into all of these stuff. But then there comes this question. Actually, we don't have too much of time to dig deep into this question. But this is also another point to think about. How do I recognize that I'm doing the rightest thing or the wrongest thing?
Oh, that's a really big question and very difficult to try to answer in just how long do we have?
1 minute.
1 minute. All right, start the clock. Here it goes. what I would argue here is that there's just two things that you need to look out for. Just two things. Number one, is it intellectual? Islam drives us towards the aql, and it's constantly telling us to contemplate, to think, to reflect. Is it intellectual? And not in the Western definition of what intellect is, I mean the aql.
Wise.
Right?
Is it wise to do so?
Right. Is it wise? Is it on par with your what you know of the world? Secondly, is it for the sake of Allah?
Yeah.
Right? So it comes down to your niyyah and intention. Just these two things. I think if you always look and check, is it intellectual? Is it for the sake of Allah? And
it makes the gist.
It's fine. Go for it.
Yeah.
And then remember, there's a verse of the Quran. It says, فَإِذَا عَذَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you make your decision, then rely on Allah.
Yeah. You try for it, and then God would help you.
So, is it intellectual? Is it for the sake of Allah? Yes. Yes. Go for it.
Thank you for wrapping it up for me. This was all. Thank you, brother, and thank you, sister.
My
and
pleasure.
Thank you, dear listeners. Until another session. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رايزك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا رب Let the Ummah rise again, let us see daylight again, once again.
In the limelight.
Trump media and technology group stock is tumbling again after the company announced a potentially massive new influx of shares. The struggling company is rapidly losing money. We take a look at the US media's coverage of this story. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. After a short-lived honeymoon, former President Donald Trump's media company is experiencing a rough reception on Wall Street. Trump Media and Technology Group, TMTG, which trades under the ticker DJT, his initials, tumbled 18.4% in Monday trading, a drop that follows last week's 21% plunge. The sharp drop in value comes after Trump Media, whose primary asset is Truth Social, the social media platform, on Monday, 15th of April, filed a document with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission that opens the door for the future potential sale of millions of shares. The document, called an S-1, relates to warrants held by investors that can be transformed into shares of stock, as well as shares held by company insiders. The filing also includes all the shares held by the former president. Donald Trump, however, remains under a lockup deal that largely restricts him from selling his shares for another roughly 5 months. His son, Donald Trump Jr., who is a director on the board of the company, and the chief executive officer, Devin Nunes, are also bound by the lockup. The stock plunge has erased billions of dollars from Trump's stake, at least on paper. The shares soared when they began trading on 26th of March, giving Donald Trump's 57% ownership position a value of $6.25 billion. But after DJT's recent slump, that stake is now worth $2.1 billion, representing a paper loss of $4.15 billion. Overall, shareholders have lost $7.2 billion in value since the stock touched a high of $79.38 on 26th of March. The shares tumbled $5.98, or 18.4% of their value, to $26.61 on Monday, 15th of April. When companies issue additional shares, they take on risk of their stock price coming under downward pressure. That's due in part to simple laws of supply and demand. With more stock available, a company's share price tends to fall unless there is a commensurate increase in demand. So far, the former president's supporters comprise a significant part of the company's investor base, with Trump Media chief executive officer Devin Nunes praising their support on Fox Business earlier this month. On Truth Social platform, some investors said they believed the stock would recover, while others said they were taking advantage of the stock's plunge to buy more shares. "Bought more today, just like a lot of you," one member of the Truth Social group dedicated to DJT shares wrote on Monday, 15th of April. "I believe time is our friend. Half a year until election, I can definitely hold until then at the minimum." Other supporters on Truth Social noted that the Monday filing doesn't necessarily mean that Donald Trump plans to sell any of his 57% ownership stake in Trump Media. "Trump has not signaled intentions to sell his shares," wrote Chad Nedohin, a pastor and musician on Truth Social on Monday. "There is no new unexpected issuance of new shares. The increase in total shares in the S-1 is for the warrants." S-1 filings are typically filed quickly after a SPAC deal closes, usually within 15 or 30 days, according to Chrissy Marvin, founder of SPACinsider.com, which specializes in SPAC deals. Trump Media and Technology Group didn't immediately return a request for comment. Donald Trump, who relies on Truth Social as his primary social media platform, has about 7 million followers on the app, where he frequently blasts his critics and promotes favorable polls. He also turned to Truth Social to rail about his criminal trial, which began on Monday over accusations of falsifying business records relating to hush money payments. About 600,000 retail investors have bought shares in Trump Media and Technology Group, with about 200,000 of them buying into the stock within the last few weeks. Devin Nunes told Fox Business earlier this month, he called these small investors the most amazing part about our company. Those investors have had a wild ride since the stock began trading as ZJT on 26th of March this year. The shares soared on its first 2 days of trading, but have since shed more than two-thirds of their value. Such swings have promoted comparisons with so-called meme stocks like GameStop, which typically attract individual investors based on social media buzz, rather than traditional metrics favored by investors such as revenue and profit growth. Last year, Trump Media lost $58 million on revenue of $4.1 million, about half the annual sales booked by a single Chick-fil-A location. CNN Cable News Network has also covered the same story. Trump Media and Technology Group TMTG stock is tumbling again after the company announced a potentially massive new influx of shares. The struggling company is rapidly losing money and a new stock offering could help it stay afloat. But there is a downside to going back to the market with more shares. The addition of 21.5 million shares for sale announced on Monday would add more than 15% more stock to the publicly available shares of the Truth Social owner. That would substantially devalue existing shareholder stakes, including that of former President Donald Trump, and it means that millions of shares could be sold off. This filing seeks to register all shares related to the merger that took Trump Media public, including those that are tied to warrants. Warrants give the holder the right to buy shares of a company's stock at a set price. The belief is that they're going to exchange the warrant for a share of stock and then immediately sell that stock, according to John Reckenthaler, Vice President of Research at Morningstar. Matthew Tuttle, Chief Executive of Tuttle Capital Management, said, "Management would be stupid not to sell more stock, even though the move will upset shareholders." Shares of Trump Media and Technology Group closed more than 18% lower on Monday, 15th of April. The stock had rocketed higher in recent months in anticipation of merging a blank check acquisition company with Trump's media business. But it has lost more than 60% of its value from its peak on 26th of March this year, the day after the merger was completed and it started trading publicly as Trump Media and Technology Group, TMTG. Still, the stock's move lower based on this latest update will likely be temporary, according to Matthew Tuttle. This is going to unnerve some investors. Other people might look at it and try to buy the dip, he said. As long as Trump is in the news in some way, in some shape or form, this is going to be a meme stock. People are going to trade it. Shareholders, including Donald Trump, have already seen their holdings dwindle in value since the company went public. Anyone who bought Trump Media at the closing high of $66.22 on 27th of March has now lost more than half of their money. The steep declines have put a dent in Trump's net worth. The former president's stake was valued at $5.2 billion at the closing high for Trump Media stock price. As of Monday's close, it plummeted to about $2.1 billion. Trump's net worth fell roughly $470 million on Monday alone from the stock's plunge. This filing also seeks to register more than 146 million shares held by some stockholders for resale, including all 114.8 million of Donald Trump's 78.8 million current and 36 million potential shares that could be granted if the stock price holds above a certain level. There are a number of reasons behind the stock's eye-popping swings. The company is tied to Donald Trump, a polarizing political figure whose association with the stock has attracted scrutiny. Trump Media's public debut also marked the former president's return to Wall Street after years of regulatory and legal hurdles. Experts have warned retail investors to be careful if they choose to trade the stock, especially because the company doesn't have the fundamentals to back up its sky-high valuation. Trump Media lost $58 million in 2023 and made just $4.1 million in revenue. Donald Trump currently owns more than 57% of the company's shares. Unless he were to purchase stock in the new public offering, Trump would own just under half of the company's public traded stock after it issues more shares. But the company needs money. It has said it has substantial doubt about its ability to continue operating. The company generates little in the way of revenue. It's losing millions of dollars and it's losing many of its users as well. Although the share offering was not directly related to Donald Trump's criminal trial, which began on Monday, 15th of April, the company noted in a warning to potential investors that Trump's ongoing legal proceedings pose a risk to the company's reputation and to the company's brand. President Donald J. Trump is the subject of numerous legal proceedings. An adverse outcome in one or more of the ongoing legal proceedings could negatively impact Trump Media and Technology Group, the company noted.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Farewell to the arms.
Part 2.
The moment of farewell is one of the hardest moments for anyone. Whether it is saying farewell to your family, your home, your homeland, and the most significant of all, saying farewell to life. But for a fighter, the hardest one is to say farewell to their arms. Palestinian fighter and leader Yasser Arafat was a man who experienced each and every one of these farewells throughout his life. Now, he had turned into a comatose in a hospital bed in France before he experienced those farewells. His first painful farewell took place 50 years ago when he witnessed a series of events that changed his course of life. It was springtime in the small village of Deir Yassin. The inhabitants of the village did not want any war with the intruders. But sometime later, the United Nations divided Palestine into two Arab and Jewish sectors and caused rifts instead of solving the differences.
The resolution of the Duck Committee for Palestine was adopted by 33 votes, 13 against, 10 abstentions.
After the UN resolution, the Palestinians possessed only 45% of their country in two disjointed segments, namely the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. The rest of the 55% was given to the minority Jews with a 500,000 population. By recognizing Israel as a so-called state, a war started. Now the Jews could expel the Palestinians out of their homes and replace them with the newly arrived Jewish immigrants. A year later, Israelis were the winners of the war. The 65,000 strong army that had come from seven Arab states to help the Palestinians could not do much. They were less than half the Israeli forces in numbers. On the other hand, the Israelis' newly purchased equipment, compared to the Palestinians' old and dilapidated equipment, made many people disappointed. The immigrant Jews, who had only purchased only 2% of Palestine's land from the British, were now occupying 70% of the land. The war claimed the lives of 25,000 people and left 700,000 Palestinians homeless and displaced. They migrated to neighboring countries. People lived cold and grim lives away from home. Their only hope was to return to their homes one day. Tensions were on the rise along the borders. The armed forces on the Jordanian and Syrian borders were on high alert. To support them, Gamal deployed 80,000 troops to the Sinai Desert and the Gaza Strip. The King of Jordan traveled to Cairo to sign a defense pact with Egypt. Syria and Iraq also joined the pact. The Middle East turned into a powder keg. A single spark could burn it in flames. Israel found itself surrounded from all sides, so it declares a state of emergency in all of its military bases. The commander of the Israeli army claimed that they're ready to enter any war the next day. All eyes are fixed on Gamal, so he'd start the war and end the Israeli entity before it could celebrate its 20th birthday. As a next step, he blocks all maritime crossings for Israel. 9 months later, the news of an explosion shocks everyone. A roadside blast targets a bus in Israeli-occupied territory, leading to the death of two Israelis. The Israeli army announces it will give an unforgettable lesson to the fighters who carried out this attack. A small group named Fatah claims responsibility for the operation. Their base was in a small town of Karameh, located near the Jordanian border. Gamal was worried a new war would create trouble for Arab states, so he asked the Fatah forces to immediately leave town. The Jordanian army made the same request, but Fatah members wanted to stay, even if it meant they had to give up their lives. Israel thought such a small group wouldn't be much of trouble for them, so they immediately sent 15,000 troops and 50 tanks to the village. The situation was dangerous for Israel. They were looking for a way to stop Arafat. It seemed impossible in a region where no country recognized Israel. At the same time, when tensions are rising in Lebanon over Arafat's presence, Fatah stepped up its activities. Some people in Lebanon did not want Arafat to use the land as a base for a war against Israel. All the opposition came from the Falangis movement, an organization that was created from the merger of some Christian Lebanese groups. Arafat did not want to destabilize Lebanon, but as the Christian paramilitary groups continued their provocations, some Fatah forces got into conflict with them. Once again, it was springtime and Palestinians hit hard luck. In a surprise attack on a bus, 27 Palestinians and Lebanese were killed. The Falangis claimed responsibility for the attack. The Lebanese government asked them to surrender those responsible, but they refused and took control of the area. No one expected such an attack, as the Falangis were just a political movement in Lebanon without much military power. A young man named Bachir Gemayel becomes commander of the armed militia of the Falangis. A month before the attack, they rapidly transformed into a disciplined and well-equipped military force at a time when they received multiple ships full of weapons and military equipment. Something was written on all of the equipment: made in Israel. It meant that Israel has started a proxy war against Arafat. At the moment when Arafat needed foreign help more than ever, things did not go well. In Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser's advisor and deputy succeeded him, but he took a different path.
Let us agree that whatever happens between us, we should solve it together through, talks rather than going to war.
Egypt could retake the Sinai Desert after 20 years of Israeli occupation and then avoid conflict with Israel for the sake of establishing peace. But it wasn't the end of the story. Arafat asked different parties to help establish a ceasefire. In no time, the pressure piles up on Lebanon. A part of the Israeli army enters southern Lebanon with the help of the Falangis. Arafat decided to seek help from outside the Middle East to solve the problem. Arafat thought that the U.S. was the only country that could help him in this matter. Israel accepted the ceasefire at the request of Washington. A year has passed after the ceasefire, and during this period, Israel kept many Israeli forces on the border on standby. They wanted to speed up the war, so they appointed Ariel Sharon as the Minister of Military Affairs. Violence was the most prominent characteristic. In violation of the ceasefire deal, on the morning of the 3rd of June, 1983, Israeli forces prepare for all-out attack. 120,000 soldiers, backed up by 1,600 tanks, moved on Lebanon. Only in 2 days, the Israeli army reached the outskirts of Beirut without any major impediment. Even resistance within the cities could not slow down the Israeli advance. Arafat issued the order to retreat to all of his forces in order to buy time to reinforce. Now, the enemy was behind the gates of the city.
We are here, and we'll continue to be here, and we will defend this city, the first, it is very important, it is the first Arab capital which the Israeli are blockading. It is very important. You have to put in consideration what it means for the next generation. What have been done, you will pay its price.
Sharon's helicopter landed at Beirut's military airport so he could meet with the Falange leaders. Arafat's bases were bombarded at his orders. For him, destroying Arafat was the main goal. A missile directly hits his office. But Arafat had left the office a few moments earlier. He was cornered, he was completely surrounded, and had no way to escape. For 9 weeks, gray clouds covered the sky over Beirut, the defenseless city. Israel claimed that the targets of the attack were Fatah forces, but it is unarmed civilians who suffered the most. Arafat had to make a hard choice. To what extent did the people have to pay the price for the war? What had to be done in order to get out of this situation? And who could help him?
Good evening. President Reagan said today he's lost patience with the continuing bloodshed in Lebanon, and he all but demanded that it stop, telling reporters he intends to make that point quite firmly with Israeli officials.
American representatives enter Beirut to establish a ceasefire once again. The U.S. won Arafat's confidence and, more importantly, convinced him to take all Fatah forces out of Lebanon. In return, Arafat asked for the security of Palestinian refugee camps. In the end, the Falangists also reached their goal. After 7 years of war and bloodshed, their leader was to become the president of Lebanon. Fatah forces said farewell to Lebanon in several stages. After a few days, the final group prepared to leave. Arafat was the last person who was going to say farewell to Lebanon.
This is a part of the long march, yes, to our independent state, to our capital, Palestine, Jerusalem.
Arafat stepped into the path of the unknown with an unknown destination. It seemed that fate had driven a wedge between Arafat and Palestine.
Meanwhile, the number of dead and injured in yesterday's explosion, which killed President-elect Bashir Gemayel, has reportedly reached at least 60. No one yet has claimed responsibility for the bombing.
No one knew who carried out the explosion. But the the Israelis and phalangists accuse the Palestinians. Sharon claimed the Fatah forces had not completely left Palestine and were hiding in Palestinian camps. So he ordered a lockdown on them to find Fatah forces. He went to the Sabra and Shatila camps for the start. Fatah's base was located near the camps. The residents decided not to resist against Israelis and the phalangists. After 3 days, when the Israelis surround the camps, the phalangists were allowed to enter the camps and trigger a catastrophe. According to local sources, 3,000 people died in that massacre. Many of the bodies were beyond recognition. Many were buried in mass graves in order to hide this atrocity.
Naftali Ba'iri says he thought the Christian militia was sent in to drive out terrorists, not to kill civilians.
Do you think it was right to let them in there?
Maybe it was right to let them in, but nobody thought that that's what the result.
Arafat was shocked after he heard the news. He had trusted the U.S., but now faced what he feared most.
Protesting against this massacres and genocides against the Palestinians, which had been planned and organized by the Israelis, by the Israeli troops, and I'm sorry to say, and covered completely by the American administration.
5 months after the Sabra and Shatila massacre, a court hearing was held in Israel to shed light on the event. During the proceedings, it was revealed that the explosion was carried out by a Christian member of a Syrian organization and that the Palestinians had no involvement in the incident. Although Sharon was blamed for the negligence, he continued to remain in his post. And even in the next administration, only his ministry changes. When Arafat wanted to set up Fatah anew, he faced a crisis. He was confused for a few months, but he finally settles down in Tunisia, 3,000 kilometers away from Palestine. The long distance would make it very unlikely that war would be dragged to Tunisia. But at the same time, the distance had made continuing the struggle a daunting task for Fatah.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 58 of Surah An-Nisa on page 87. So brothers and sisters, the same as Fawad Haider and Ali Nasser, open your Quran, turn to page 87, Ayah what?
58.
Let's listen everybody to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha wa idha hakamtum bainan nas an tahkumu bil-'adl inna Allah ni'ma ya'idhukum bih إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا
ما شاء الله nice recitation Allah bless the reciter inshallah a very very important point here Allah Almighty says and that's it that's about delivering the trusts of people to themselves okay to the owners the amanat okay and also about like judgment, Allah Almighty talks something, says something important. So let's see what Allah Almighty says then. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Let me recite it once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَى أَهْلِهَا أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا
Very important points here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ O Muslims, indeed, O Muslims, because Allah Almighty talks to the Muslims. Yeah, it's not mentioned here, but totally Allah Almighty is mentioning the rules. Or even here, Allah Almighty talks in general, okay? In general. So indeed, Allah commands you to deliver the trusts, the amanat, okay? إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا To their rightful owners. Alright? وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ And when you judge between people, أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ Allah Almighty commands you to what? To judge with fairness.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ
Excellent indeed is what Allah advises you. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا Indeed, Allah is all-hearing and
all-seeing.
So the very important point. One of the like the name, the titles of our Prophet, Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was what? Was الأمين, the trustworthy. Trustworthy. Even the like Muslims were like leaving their trusts, okay, their properties before Prophet, and Prophet was a like keeping them for the friends and the other Muslims, okay. And even non-Muslims, the mushrikeen, the enemies of the Prophet, because Prophet was well known as a trustworthy person, okay, So the enemies would leave their properties. Before the Prophet. And Prophet was like, keeping them safely, okay? And when the Prophet left in Laylatul Mabit, okay, in the night of the night that Prophet left the Mecca towards Medina, okay, Imam Ali alayhi salam slept in his bed, yes. That day, that night, Prophet told Imam Ali alayhi salam that you stay here, okay, and I have some trusts from the people, okay, you have to deliver to them back, okay. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam delivered them, and he saw that, yeah, some trusts are from the enemies. Those who are plotting against the Prophet, those who are planning to kill the Prophet. Prophet had trust from them, and Prophet never what? Wronged to them. Even you should be that much trustworthy, okay, that your enemies should be able to put something as a trust before you, okay? And you should keep it. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ, this is أَمْر مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, from Allah Almighty, أَنْ تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. It could be many things. It's not only about properties. Look, a teacher, for example, me, I really have to be careful about my job, okay? Because, for example, the students are the trusts, the amanat of their parents. Look, my teacher was telling me this important point. I loved this point, okay? He was always telling me that, Mr. Fasih, if you, okay, go and teach somewhere, you should be very much careful that these kids, the kids that they come and learn Quran from you, they come and learn Islamic studies from you, okay? They are the amanat from Lady Zahra and Imam Ali alayhi salam. They are the Shia of Ali, they are the followers of the Prophet, you should be very careful. Okay, you should be very careful of what you teach them, how you behave with them. And he told me that your intention must be this, that whenever you go, you say, oh Allah Almighty, I'm going to help, okay, your slaves, your, okay, slaves, and also the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So please help me.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
ربنا ما خلقت هذا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
That's all, guys. Time is running out. We have to go to the Tajweed rules. But yeah, that was the points that we mentioned, okay? Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, learn more about them. Brothers and sisters, it's time to mention some points, Tajweed points, and then practice the recitation. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ. The first one is about the pronunciation of the word Allah. It's pronounced heavily if there is a fatha or a dhamma sound right before. إِنَّ has a fatha, Allah, so there is a fatha before Allah, pronounce it heavily. Yes, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ. Hide the sound of noon sakin here in this word. أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَات.
Skip
the waw, skip Hamzatul Wasl. تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ. Aha. Mim sakin plus ba. Hide the sound of
ميم
حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا نون ساكن بس إخفاء. Hide the sound of noon here as well. بالعدل. Jim says it's okay if you stop or continue.
قلقلة.
Yeah, عدل. ما شاء الله. قلقلة دال. On the دال. Bouncing sound.
عدل عدد عدل, عدل إن الله نعم ميم مشدد نون مشدد. You should prolong it for two counts, the sound, okay, and a nasal sound also. يعظكم به يعظكم به ميم ساكن plus با, the same as حكمتم بين الناس, hide the sound of ميم. يعظكم به قيلا tells you
it's better to stop.
So you stop here, it's better. إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا
إقلاب.
Change the sound of تنوين here to a hidden ميم sound. سميعا بصيرا. That's all. So, these points are important, okay? Now we will practice the recitation. Fawad and Ali Nasir, repeat after me. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس.
إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس.
أحسن بين الناس. وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل.
وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل.
إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به.
إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به.
أحسنتم. إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا.
إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
MashaAllah, Allah bless you, inshaAllah. That's all for today, brothers and sisters. Stay with IRB English Radio, inshaAllah. Thank you so much, Fawad and Ali Nasir. Thanks for being with us today. InshaAllah, we'll be here with you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio.
Coming up is the news.